Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. In just under a week, next Wednesday, September 30th, all U.S. Census Bureau offices are scheduled to complete their counting for the 2020 census. This is after the census taking was extended from April 1st to October 31st in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. But following pressure from the Trump administration, the Census Bureau announced in August that it would end counting a month early. So now September 30th is the final day of counting. Because of this change, according to a study at the American Statistical Association, 37 of 50 states will not reach the Census Bureau's goal to collect responses from 99% of households on its address list. Included on that list is our own state of Illinois. Governor J.B. Pritzker is continuing his statewide push to get people counted, today making appearances in Carbondale and Marion, both in southern Illinois. A reminder that if you have not filled out your census form, there is still time. Again, you have until next Wednesday, September 30th. It takes about 5 minutes to complete. You can self-respond at my2020census.gov. That's my2020census.gov. Or call 844-330-2020. That's 844-330-2020. Joining us now to discuss the census, why it's important, and what an undercount can mean for Illinois are Anita Banerjee, director of the Democracy Initiative at Forefront. Hello, Anita. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. We also have with us Griselda Vega Samuel, Midwest Regional Counselor for MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Hello, Griselda. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Susan Odom is with us as well. She's the Extension Specialist in Community Development for the University of Illinois Extension. Hello, Susan, and welcome to the 21st.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having us here.
Thanks for being here. And listeners, we want to invite you to join the conversation at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Did you complete your census form yet? Did you do it online, by phone? Did somebody knock on your door and socially distantly ask you questions about your household? We want to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. 9455. You can also always tweet us at 21st Show. Anita, I want to begin with you. There have been a lot of changes and back and forth to the census this year. Where are we now with the 2020 census?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Amidst all of the challenges, you know, Illinois is still working tirelessly to ensure that we're getting that fair and accurate count. And although if you look at our numbers overall as a state, you know, we're tied with Virginia for that number seven spot in terms of self-response in the country. But we have significant tracks in the Chicago and Cook County region in central and southern Illinois, where those tracks are trending much lower than the 2010 rates that they had. And so at a time when we are amidst this pandemic and social unrest, you know, our economy is fledgling, the census is not top of mind for a lot of families, and nor should it be, right? The priority should be everyone's health and well-being. But at the same time, this is a huge civic engagement opportunity that is going to determine our next steps and our future ahead.
So maybe we can take a step back, Anita, and just talk about what are some of the consequences if there is an undercount in Illinois?
Sure. The consequences, the ramifications will be large, right? Since 1950, Illinois has lost one congressional seat in every census cycle. We are on target for that very same situation. Right. So then we will now have 17 members of Congress. And when we know we need to rely on our congressional leaders for our various causes, we certainly cannot lose seats in Congress. the federal resources that we receive for the next decade ahead, all of that is predicated on accurate census data. And if we have tracks that are significantly lower than the 2010 rates, then we know that equitable resources will not be coming through to the very communities, to the very residents all across our state that need SNAP benefits, childcare, nutritional assistance, you know, infrastructure dollars. All of that will be far less without a fair and accurate count. And then finally, you know, when we have a state budget that is always in flux, right, we need to rely even more on our federal dollars to help us get through the next decade ahead. And how are we supposed to prosper? How are we supposed to be able to determine new opportunities for growth if we don't know where there is growth in populations across our state?
Can you put a number on that? Like, what would, say, even just a 1% undercount result in? I think I heard Governor Pritzker saying, you know, $195 million. How does that work?
Yeah, so there's not an exact number at this point in time, right? We don't have our numbers in yet. So the Bureau hasn't had time to do its due diligence to crunch those numbers. But yes, a 1% undercount will impact millions of dollars that come to our state then for the next decade ahead. So when you want to parse it down by person, right, the average amount of money that one person represents in the country is $1,800 for just 1 year alone. In the Cook County region, that number is less. We know that there's been outward migration from our state in the last 5 years alone. So that number is about roughly $1,400 a person. But that's $14,000 that is lost over the course of a decade when just one person is not counted, right? And I think it's also really important to recognize that one person could be a person that's 2 days old all the way to, you know, 99 years old or 100 years old, right? So when you think about your household, you really need to be intentional about ensuring that everyone that is living in your household is counted.
Susan Odom with the University of Illinois Extension. So where are we now with response rates in Illinois? And do you have a sense of how that compares to the past or to how other states are doing?
Well, currently, as Anita mentioned, Illinois ranks 7th in self-response rates. This was as of Wednesday. Unfortunately, while the self-response rate, which is if you responded by mail, by phone, or online, but when we factor in the efforts of the field census takers, Illinois is currently ranked 20th among all states for a total response rate. And Illinois is currently sitting at 97.5%. The additional 26.8% of households that have been counted through the census non-response follow-up, so that's when census takers go to door-to-door, that factors in with the 70.7% self-response rate. But unfortunately, self-response rates can't be tracked at the county level. The Census Bureau is not publishing data on the total response rates per county, only at the state level. So unfortunately, it's making it really difficult for us to get a localized view of what census collection efforts are as we near the end of the census count. For example, the southern half of the state of Illinois is in the Springfield Area Census Office, which is currently reporting that 87.4% of their non-response follow-up workload has been completed. Now, that is the lowest percentage in the state. The northern half of the state outside of Chicago and the collar counties is in the Peoria Census Area Office, which is reporting at 93.4% of their non-response follow-up workload being complete. And the areas around Chicago and the collar counties range from 88.9% to 95.2%. So we still do have some work to do, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time left to do that. Now, there are mechanisms in place to count the people that do not respond to a census field taker. They also have mechanisms in place to count group quarters populations and others like that, but they will use a sophisticated form of estimation to count the people who are not counted But unfortunately, even those sophisticated methods of using different kinds of historical administrative records, such as, relying on different, like your, I'm trying to think like which ones I want to mention. when you fill out your taxes, things like that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Those types of administrative records, they will kind of try to factor in how many people that perhaps have been missed through looking at those administrative records. Other things might be Medicare, Medicaid records, information from HUD, Selective Service, Social Security, things like that. So they will try to kind of gather that count. But unfortunately, even filling in that information, it is really better to have accurate information instead of relying on estimates when we're looking at the future of the area. And like Anita said, the importance of making sure that we get as many dollars and as much representation as we can in the area. So.
Yeah. Griselda Vega-Samuel, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, the Census Bureau ending counting a month early means there's less time remaining to reach historically undercounted groups like immigrants, people of color, people in rural areas, renters, also those less likely to fill out the census on their own. I wonder, as regional counsel for MALDEF, I'm curious about your reaction to the Census Bureau ending its count a month earlier than previously planned.
Sure. So obviously, we are very concerned. MALDEF has historically been very involved in making sure that the census is done, that the government fulfills its obligation, its constitutional obligation to count every single person in the United States, which includes immigrants and all of the communities of color and people in the hardest to count communities, as you mentioned. And so for us, let me say this, MALDEF has been working on both the litigation and the public policy front. And so in our litigation, we fought to make sure the census didn't have the citizenship question, and we continue to fight right now. We are one of the lawsuits that is fighting to make sure that this truncated deadline of shortening the census counting is not happening because of exactly what you said. We know that non-response follow-up, the person-to-person contact, particularly in communities of color, particularly in the rural communities, is so critical in these last few months. And we understand that because of the pandemic, obviously, as Anita also mentioned, right, everybody has other priorities that they have to, and other challenges that they have had to face. So we desperately need this extra time to make sure that we're counting everybody for all of the reasons that have already been stated. So MALDEF, along with many other coalitions and other organizations, are fighting to make sure that we get that extra month to make sure that we count every single person. And again, this is our constitutional mandate that we ensure that we have an appropriate and total count of the entire population living in the United States.
And so what sort of efforts have been made to reach some of these undercounted groups?
So we've been really fortunate here in Illinois. MALDEF, along with Common Cause and Forefront and various other coalitions, were part of the Illinois Count Me 2020 coalition. And for the last 3 years, we've been fighting to get, and we were able to get, $29 million from the state to invest in the census count. And so we've had resources here in Illinois to make sure that we were counting, especially these hard to count communities. And so we've, at the city, county, and state level, all of them collaborated and have continued to work together to try to count all of these people. Things from mass media buys to social media to events, particularly in these last few weeks, because we know the urgency and the importance of counting everybody. You've seen tons of events, things like, and people had to get creative as well, because with the pandemic, the typical, conscious awareness and raising awareness of letting people know to how to count, how to get counted, had to go by the wayside. So people got very creative, things like tortillerias putting census stickers on their every tortilla packet and having, there's been Sunday pastors or pastors at Sunday Mass making sure people know that they have to fill out the census. And so, you know, we're just trying to do our very best to ensure that we're getting out to the community, because for a lot of these communities, there's been a lot of fear, a lot of misinformation and confusion. And so a big part of the work has been educating people and letting them know that this is a safe, that it's safe, the information is confidential, and everybody should be counted. And so getting those messages out is really important. But given the challenges with the pandemic, it's definitely been a challenge nobody had expected.
Yeah. If you can stick around, we need to take a quick break here, but I want to talk a little bit more about the census and what lies ahead and potentially the less than 1 week we have left to get people counted. So once again, if you still have not taken the census, you can do so at my2020census.gov. That's my2020census.gov. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break. The phone lines are still open here at the 21st, 800-222-9455 is the number if you have a question about the census. More to come after a short break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the census. Just under a week remains, although there are legal efforts, as we heard a few moments ago, attempting to get that extended. But just as of right now, under a week remains until September 30th, when Census Bureau offices are scheduled to complete their counting for the 2020 census. We're speaking with Anita Banerjee, director of the Democracy Initiative at Forefront, Susan Odom with the University of Illinois Extension, and Griselda Vega Samuel, who is Midwest Regional Counsel for MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Anita, I want to ask you about Chicago, as I understand, its current response rate is less than where it was in 2010 and still below Mayor Lightfoot's goal of 75%. What challenges have there been of taking a census in a pandemic?
Oh, my goodness. There have been so many. Right. Just as the self-response period opened up on March 13th, we went into full crisis mode with the pandemic. And that significantly stymied our outreach efforts all across the city, all across the county, all across the state. And there's just no alternative for in-person connectivity, as we've learned gravely from this outreach effort. You know, we had organizations that were at the ready that were going to be doing numerous and a multitude of creative outreach efforts all through the spring. And we had to quickly pivot and shift to a largely digital outreach strategy. And that shed light on the fact that the digital divide is very real and very much a reality in our city. And we also know that the COVID crisis has largely hit our Black and Brown communities. And those are the very census tracts that are trending lower than the rates that they had even in 2010. And so amidst the global pandemic, recognizing that the census is not top of mind and that we couldn't be in person for this connectivity, organizations have done as much as they can. But, you know, the damage is done, right? Whether we end on September 30th or we are granted those extra 31 days, getting to these concentrated communities is a real hardship. And the city, the county, the state, as Griselda mentioned, are working very closely with philanthropy and Forefront's Illinois Count Me In program. We have partnerships in a way that we've never had before in trying to get out the count. And so in these last 6 days, the county is sending out street teams. The city is working closely with Chicago Cares on their texting program. And the state of Illinois is in amidst a roadshow. Right, we are doing all that we can to get to these communities, but you know, time is running out.
Susan, we heard that rural residents are historically undercounted, and you reside and work in the southern part of the state. It is more rural there. What are some of the challenges of taking the census in low density areas?
Well, I mean, there's typically many different types of residents and populations that we consider hard to count, you know, from minority populations to those with young children, high poverty rate, lower high school education rates, things of that nature. One of the unique challenges that we've saw in 2020 is there's a new level of concern for counting older residents. They've often had higher participation rates in the census, but most of those have not been getting out, leaving their homes during the pandemic, resulting in less engagement with census partners, as they've mentioned. So this has had, I believe, one of the most significant impacts that we've saw in our rural areas here in southernmost Illinois, coupled with the fact that many of the traditional places that many of these residents may have used to respond or interacted with people to learn about the census and things like that, such as local libraries, extension offices, and other local organizations, were closed for a number of months. So that really created some problems. And I share the frustrations that Anita said. We've been certainly also had to pivot to a digital strategy and are clearly recognizing that digital divide. Currently, there are 5 counties in the state that are still reporting self-response rates under 50%, and those are primarily more smaller rural counties, Henderson County, Calhoun County, and also Alexander, Pope, and Hardin County here in southernmost Illinois. They are also all below their 2010 self-response rate percentage. So we're very concerned about some of those areas. And then I think, too, we do have more distrust in the government now than we perhaps did 10 years ago. So that, you know, perhaps also has impacted the census.
Griselda, we've read here on the show that in some Latino majority neighborhoods, the response rate is hovering around 40%. And I think it's, you know, people often think of much of the Latino population in Illinois as being around Chicago, but of course there are other communities in all across Illinois. There are migrant farm worker communities and immigrant communities around meat processing plants, like the one in Beardstown, for example. I mean, what challenges are there that are unique to those communities with getting people counted for the census?
I think that's exactly right. This particular go-around, the biggest challenges we've seen was first with the attempt from this administration to add the citizenship question, which really, you know, for a lot of immigrants, whether it was Latino or, you know, some of our Haitian or Asian immigrant communities, it was a very scary thing to feel like you were not allowed to be part, you know, that we didn't want to be to count you to be part of this country. And so there was a lot of confusion about whether or not they even should fill it out. So that was the first big challenge. Then with this pandemic, a lot of our immigrant communities that you just mentioned, whether they're frontline workers as, you know, in hospitals or processing plants, are essential workers and on the front line. And so therefore they have been impacted greatly by this pandemic. And so having to reach out to all of these communities and letting them know that they are absolutely counted, that they should be counted for all of the reasons we know are important, the federal resources and our political positioning, all of those things are important to these communities, but I would say the other big issue is the technology piece. I think as the Latino community has grown outside of Cook County into the collar counties, into the rural parts of and the southern part of our state, technology, the internet has been a difficulty. We've seen that even with remote learning now that we're in the pandemic, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of distrust, not only for because of the rhetoric that's coming out of this administration, but also because a lot of communities, both in the Latino and immigrant communities, but also with the older community, is that they didn't want to put their information in online. And so that was a big challenge we had to overcome. And so I think we are all trying to do our very best to, in this last few days, to reach people personally. But, you know, that fear continues. And so we just want to make sure that people understand that their information is confidential. MALDEF has a pledge out there with over 400 organizations assuring people that we will continue to fight and make sure that the information is confidential, that will not be shared with immigration or any other agency, and that every person should be counted because that is our constitutional mandate and our constitutional right for every single person living in the United States.
Well, we need to wrap up this conversation, but Anita, I want to ask last question to you. Let's just say I'm asking for a friend. I mean, what if pandemic time, as we all know, has really distorted our sense of time this year? What if you think you completed the census form, but then you say, you know, maybe you see a census taker came by the house when you were hosting a live public radio show, say, and so maybe you didn't complete the census? I mean, my friend, go online and try to complete the form again? What is your final message to people here in the potentially the last days of the census in 2020?
Yeah, absolutely. I would tell your friend that if there's any uncertainty that you haven't filled out the form, go to my census2020.gov and you know, put in your address and get counted. If there is someone coming to your door, chances are they're looking for supplementary information. They're looking for information about your neighbor. They're wanting to get confirmation about the apartment units in your building. There could be a variety of reasons. So not to shy away from that, that could be helping to make that difference to ensure that everyone is getting counted. You know, and the last thing I would just say is that, you know, we have a real opportunity here to do right by our communities. We have an opportunity here to engage in a huge, important civic engagement that is going to set us up for our future. And if we, at a time when there is so much uncertainty, if we want that better tomorrow, then the way to go about doing that is to ensure that we have accurate data. Because at the end of the day, everyone matters. Everyone counts.
Anita Banerjee is director of the Democracy Initiative at Forefront. We've also been speaking with Griselda Vega Samuel, who is the Midwest Regional Council for MALDEF, and Susan Odom with the University of Illinois Extension. Thank you all so much for joining me and talking about this important issue today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.